Philadelphia Eagles have dethroned the Patriots as Super Bowl champions.
Our fans have been waiting a long time for this.
You can't call them underdogs anymore. And you heard it here on Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. A lively debate's been going on all day with you listeners amongst each other with us, and we certainly appreciate that. As we said, this downtown stadium thing is really big. It's big for everybody. It has a huge impact on our community, and we are all very interested in how it would work. And I think we all want to know all sides of things and not read snippets in the paper or whatever and make just overriding calls about things. We want to hear it straight from the source. So that's why we are lucky enough to be joined by the president of Switchbacks FC, Nick Reagan. Nick, how are you today?
Good, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
You even pull that mic up to you. Don't that you can be make our guest speak down into the so to get everybody kind of caught up on where we are, because this thing moved quickly. You guys went in front of city council about the Activate Antlers Park, and then Ed Reagan and Perry had a press conference a week or so ago. So update us as far as the Antlers Park proposal. What is your guys' stance on that? Where is that at the moment?
Sure. And before I get into that, if it's okay, I'd just like to say from the Switchbacks family to the Sheriff's Department and Michael Flick that our hearts and prayers go out to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
All things considered, big picture, what's really important here.
Right.
But in regards to the venue, regards to Antlers Park and Perry Sanders, we put a proposal together in April of last year, knowing that there wasn't a plan on the table for a sports and events center. And we feel like it's really important to move something forward downtown. We feel it's important to the Switchbacks. It's why our office has been there for 4 years. It's why that's on our website. And we talk about an owner with vision. We talk about a city with vision. We talk about a team with vision, a league with vision in that. And so we'd like the city to make good on have a big vision of what sports means here in Colorado Springs. And we're happy to step to the plate. Or they maybe step up to you and take a PK.
Right, there you go.
On behalf of the City of Colorado Springs and sports. So we advanced that, and we basically were held it at arm's length until, fortunately, we were given the opportunity by City Council to come up and just share what the idea was. Ultimately, City Council couldn't make the decision, but they gave us a platform to at least communicate it, what the idea was, to fix a dilapidated park, to improve the to utilize the $27.7 million in the City for Champions grant, and and improve and grow foot traffic for the Olympic Museum that was all part of that C4C project. So right now that discussion is still out there, but it is not the primary discussion as we wait and see what else develops. It's an option.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Nick. The decision. We've been talking about this downtown stadium well before the Switchbacks even got here. And to see the fact that you present City Council and now the mayor is the mouthpiece kind of for the city and kind of everything that's going on, how is this decision going to be made? Like, who's making the decision? We know the time frame's coming up in December, but how is this decision going to be made by the city?
So regards to the City for Champions dollars, it's the mayor's decision.
Okay.
If it impacts any parks, that definitely needs to go before City Council.
And what it, as far as you understand it, do we have to have ground broken? Do we have to have a proposal by December? What do we have to do as a city by December to make sure that we are able to keep those funds?
We need to be able to demonstrate substantial completion. And there's a lot of opinions on what that means.
Yeah.
I do know, I just listened to on UCCS campus, the sports medicine facility, and Centura are moving forward with that project. They're just stepping through. They don't have all their finances together, but they're really close. And they're moving forward into final designs and putting all the final packages together, but they don't have a shovel in the ground yet.
Right.
So you know, it's getting that momentum leading towards that. So, yes, there's probably a lot of variables, a lot of discussion around that.
Mm. Antlers Park was certainly something that you guys got behind, with that situation being what it is. The new proposal, and we don't know the second site.
Right.
But as far as the first site that has been the city gate, are the switchbacks okay with that location? Are you guys all right with that plan?
Yeah, I think the costs go up, and that's why we didn't include that in our proposal.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal that we gave resolved the costs and put a plan together that we could execute on it. And so that still hasn't been developed for that city gate site, as far as I know.
Okay. Would the switchbacks be amenable to sharing a downtown stadium with the Colorado Springs Sky Sox?
Sure. And it's a question that can be easily misrepresented. It's important to understand that with professional sports, being a primary tenant in your facility is critical. And then secondly, having a facility that's designed for your sport is also very important. But the primary tenancy is the key issue. I was actually called and asked what I thought about a particular opinion. And be very frank with you, if we're not the primary tenant in whatever venue, we can't even consider it. And neither would anybody else that's a professional franchise or understands the business. And that's just how it is.
Right, and you got some diagrams of some actual stadiums that are shared use between baseball and soccer. What are some of the hurdles that you would have to go through to share a stadium with a baseball team?
Yeah, we're not even going to go down that path. It's not something that we have to do. And so it's important for us, as it is any other professional franchise, to be the primary tenant, number one. Number two, to have a facility configured to your sport. There are teams in our league that have a rectangular field and a baseball stadium. And about half of those were actually purchased. The franchise were purchased by the baseball team as a function to grow programming.
Mm.
You know, and in that space, yeah, maybe that works for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But even those teams, they have to have a 3 to 5 year plan to actually grow something specific to their team. The costs of operating a USL franchise are growing such that if you're not building a business model that's going to sustain your franchise on its own, you're going to be very stretched in order to make that franchise work.
Has the USL communicated anything to you guys about any of this? Have you had any communication with the league office? And if so, can you share any of what they have said as far as the long-term viability of this franchise in Colorado Springs if not, a downtown stadium does not happen for you?
Yeah, the league hasn't been focused on commenting whether we're downtown or where we are.
Mm.
But they do feel it's important to be moving to a facility that has 8 to 10,000 seats. 8 to 10,000 seats in the right location could be an incredible thing for Colorado Springs. 8 to 10,000 seats where we currently are, we would be concerned about.
So I want to get back to the stadium issue because, I'm looking at these diagrams. We don't want to discuss the shared use. But as far as, is there a way to configure a stadium to where it would be beneficial to both a soccer team and a baseball team? So let's say the switchbacks are the primary tenant of the stadium. Could you have baseball in there to where it would be beneficial to both, or would one have to take a back seat? Because like this diagram right here looks like it'd be great to play soccer, but not to watch soccer. You would have to bring in stands closer to the field and stuff. Like, is there a way to do it, to configure the field to where it can work?
Or do you really need your own stadium?
Right.
There's just not a way to configure it.
I mean, okay.
It's a rectangular layout is what we say. Yes, that's a soccer-specific layout.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Every other rectangular layout is either the same size or smaller than the size of a soccer field. So
right.
Football, lacrosse, you know, name the sport. Rugby,
yeah, everything but baseball. It's tough.
Right. Now, because I don't know, other than the old Mile High was the only venue that I know off the top of my head.
Well, in the Oakland Coliseum, we talked about that. A's and the Raiders, and it's not fun to watch football on dirt, to be honest with you.
It's not, and it compromises both sports.
Right.
And if I was representing a baseball team, I wouldn't want to play in a rectangular layout, just like you can't view and place a professional franchise in a baseball stadium.
Hmm.
Nick Reagan, president of the Colorado Springs Switchbacks, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. You mentioned that some of the Reno is one that comes to mind, right? Reno has a dual use, right?
The franchise, the baseball franchise, is owned by the same team that picked up the USA
right.
franchise as an extra programming opportunity.
Right. I was trying to do this math in my head, and it's very difficult for me to do, as you can imagine. I counted, including Widener Field at the moment, now the seating number of seats aside, just the soccer specificity of the stadium. There are 16.
That's a word.
I think so.
Yeah.
There are 16 teams in the USL that have their own soccer-specific stadium. There's, what, a little less than a handful more that are direct affiliates of an MLS club that get a play on the MLS field. What I'm trying to get at is, in the next, let's say, 3 years, as the USL pushes to have full-blown Tier 2 status, unchallenged, and all that kind of stuff.
Which it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So, how many stadiums in the next 3 to 4 years will be soccer-specific within the USL that will not share?
So right now, I have 25 of 33 teams playing a soccer-specific venue, and I have 21 of those 33 are primary tenants of the 33 teams. So in the next 5 to 10, how many of those? I actually had to go back and recount, because I know there is, off the top of my head, there's 4 of them that are already in far down the line in planning their soccer-specific venue, because it's critical.
Mm-hmm.
Are most of the non-soccer-specific stadiums, are most of those football stadiums that they would play in?
No, most of the football stadiums, you can't fit a full-size soccer field in,
okay.
surprisingly.
Just because of the width, probably.
Yeah, a lot of them bowl in at the corners.
Okay.
And so when we were first looking at venues, we went up to Hugh Stadium, and we even looked at the Air Force Academy, mm-hmm. and even CU and Boulder, and none of them could you even fit a full-size soccer field in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the same for a lot of high school facilities. With tracks around, you can't fit a full-size
soccer field. Well, I know over at UCCS, they play a lot of soccer up there, but they have a football, and it's like, it's hard to pay attention to the soccer with the grid out there. It's just weird.
Actually, that is a requirement that is in effect right now. A USL team cannot play on a field that is lined for football because it doesn't do justice to the sport. There's a lot of things like that that are really important.
Right.
You guys probably don't know this, but in like hockey and NBA, most of those venues have two completely different lighting systems.
Because I didn't know that.
Both sports want a different feel in that they want their own, they want it to be unique. They want it to be different. They want their fans to feel something that's not just bland and just, they want something specific. And that's for an arena with the same shape and layout, basketball versus hockey. You don't have, it's still rectangular in nature.
Right.
But the fan experience is really important.
Mm. Do the Switchbacks need to put in money in order to help make a stadium happen?
We put a proposal together that worked. And between the details that we organized between Perry Sanders, the Switchbacks, and at the time, even the Oaks family, we advanced the proposal. I mean, I can't speculate on any details other than what we put together was a plan that worked.
Right, and that was probably a bulk of our texts and tweets. They were like, are the Switchbacks going to financially participate with the city? And you're saying there is a plan for that.
In the proposal that we organized, we covered all those bases.
Okay.
What's kind of the next step for you guys? Is the city council going to have more discussions on this? coming up soon? What's the timeline look here, as now we're into month two and we need to get something figured out by month 12? So what's kind of the next step that the city council's taking? What's the next step that you guys are taking?
It's really the mayor's office and not city council.
Okay.
And so until the mayor's office has a plan that they want to move forward, then that will determine what other involvement from other entities needs to take place. But that, until the plan surfaces, it's kind of waiting on them.
Do you think that, like for me, with you saying that it's basically the mayor's decision, do you find a lot of citizens are like, I didn't know that could happen. Like, really, I didn't know that the mayor could make the final decision on that. I thought it was more of a council, more of a community type thing. Do you think that that is, like, something that a lot of people don't understand or even know?
In this particular case, probably.
Okay.
And, you know, like you guys are having me on, a lot of people don't either want to understand or care to understand primary tenancy versus secondary tenancy or primary configuration. Some of these things and some of the details we go through at a high level, people aren't interested in knowing. And I think even there are many people at the city that aren't interested in understanding that level of detail. But let me tell you what, it's really important. So thanks for having me on.
No, it's,
yeah,
it's
we
really
appreciate
important.
It because the last thing that we want, because there were some things that were out there, and we discussed this off air, that I thought made it look like you guys weren't willing to participate and come and work together to try and figure something out. And what you are saying is that you're certainly open to suggestion, but you have done your homework and you say that something like that is not. So that's why why we wanted to have you on, because I thought that there was a narrative being put out there that was unfair, because we wanted you to be able to come in and explain why maybe a multi-use facility as far as baseball, soccer would not work. And it's not, you know, Ed Reagan or whatever sitting and saying, well, we're not going to.
It's not stubbornness.
Right.
It's a business model. And we have the same exact position that the short season rookie league team has, which is we got to be a primary tenant and it needs to be configured for our sport. I have a whole list for you from a primary tenancy, you know, picking dates, venue sponsorship, naming rights, control ticketing system, F&B contracts, control of parking, locker rooms, training, facility offices, primary decision making. Those are things that have big price tags on them.
Mm-hmm.
And from venue configuration, if you're not the primary configuration, then every time you change, you pay to reconfigure it and then configure it back.
You pay for it? Oh, okay.
Oh, absolutely.
You double pay there.
Yeah, poor fan experience. You know, the best seats, suites, amenities in baseball are not the best. They're poor seats, suites, amenities in soccer. Match broadcast is really important for USL. Mm-hmm. This year we're going to be on CW and Fox. And if you watch any of the television broadcasts with teams that play in baseball venues, they look terrible. There's big open spaces, open gaps, and the fans aren't right up next to it. You don't get the... You don't get the feeling, and then it's not a quality fan experience.
And I want to go back. Like, my mind's blown away that it's more of a mayor decision than the council decision. So if our listeners have an opinion on this either way, their letters and emails should be more directed to the mayor than their city councilman.
At this point.
Okay.
Well, Nick, we really appreciate you coming on. This is certainly not the last time, because I think the common thread that we all have is that we all want this thing to happen.
Yeah.
But what is the best way to go about it to be able to, you know, help out whatever team is the primary tenant and all that kind of stuff? So we want to just this to be the start rather than the end of our discussion. So certainly appreciate your time. Yeah.
One more thing. Thing that happens to the switchbacks regularly. I got an email from Swansea City on Sunday. They want to pick up a game over the summer.
Oh, okay.
We can't do that in the venue that we play. Mm-hmm. We can't sell enough tickets. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
We talk about total number of events. We have 20 regular season events. And, I mean, how many? Do you guys know how many the Broncos have?
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, 10. So
I buy tickets to all 10.
Some of the minutia, some of the minutia is over a few games.
Right.
One of the other cool things that Candy from Pride Soccer brought up to me is, you know what? With the right venue, we need to explore Division I professional women's soccer in downtown Colorado.
My daughters would appreciate that.
And we could also attract the women's national team, which is a big draw. Those numbers are actually fairly similar for Division I women professional. You know, attendance is fairly comparable to USL. These are real conversations with the right venue. Without the right venue, we
can't even be in the conversation.
Right.
But we've presented some of these ideas, and, you know, I hope we move forward.
I certainly appreciate you coming on, Nick, and providing clarity, because certainly us schlubs in here could not speak as eloquently as you did as far as the differences between whether you shared or not. So we certainly appreciate the time. And like we said, this is just the start of a conversation, and we certainly appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
yep, you bet. There's Nick Reagan, president of Colorado Springs Switchbacks, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. We'll take your thoughts, 286-0046, coming up next here on Extra Sports 1300.